Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 40, a special NFL AFC preview edition. I am Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So here we are. The NFL season's upon us, isn't it, Action?
It is. It's a week away now, 8 days. And it's like a kid waking up on Christmas morning.
Oh, it is. And, the Bears are playing the Packers, obviously even more of an excitement. And then, as we've discussed many times, we are going out to Vegas the day after to join this, the circuit contest. So I'm really excited about that, establishing our proxy and starting to make these picks and maybe win some cash.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, on Saturday night when the devastating news broke for us Colts fans, I really had a moment where I quickly realized that maybe my individual fandom has been taking a step back and I'm more interested in football in general and handicapping. And it was ironic because I couldn't even bat an eye before I logged in to check the Colts season win total. I didn't even think about the Colts or my team or my fandom. I was like, ooh, I better hit that under real quick. And thankfully I got to it. So,
well, that's the goal of all of our podcast listeners, to get dispassionate and make money, right? And you did it. You were like, I'm going to hit the under. Did you get in?
Oh, yeah, I got in. We can talk about it when we get down there, but under 9.5 at plus 125, I thought was a pretty good bet at the time.
Incredible. By the time you told me about it and I logged in, it was off the board. So nice work. Well, let's jump into it. What we're going to do here is kind of like what we did with college previews. We're going to go division by division instead of conference by conference and talk about the odds and dig into each team. So hopefully you'll get plenty of information for yourself. So we'll start off with the AFC East. I just put some information out there that the AFC East is playing the NFC East this year and the AFC North in their schedule. We'll talk about schedules in a little bit. As we know, the AFC East is ruled by the Patriots. They have won forever this division. But for the title, they're plus 650 for the title. I have them as the favorite, at least on BetOnline. Plus 325 for the AFC Championship, also the favorite for the AFC. And then to win the AFC East, minus 500. Woo!
Wow.
And then 11.5 wins shaded to the under, though, minus 135, and then plus 115 for the over. So what do you got, some initial thoughts on the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we could gloss over and say that they're going to be down by any means. This team is rock solid. They've been here every year as far as back as I can remember. And it really just goes back to their stellar head coach. Bill Belichick has proven year in and year out that he's a mastermind, and he's really a cut above every other coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best coach, I'm going to say it, of all time, I think, in the league. It's hard to argue that. I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl so many times. They've won five titles or whatever it is. I mean, they're incredible. And you've got Brady, who can execute the offense, and more importantly, it seems like it doesn't matter who they have on defense, both personnel and defensive coordinator. This team, by the end of the year, always is playing great defense. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think this year especially, this defense is shaping up to be similar to their stout defenses of old. I remember back in the early 2000s with Ty Law and company. The defense on those teams was the bread and butter. They didn't really have much of an offense back then. So they do have some key losses on both sides of the ball. They lose Rob Gronkowski, who was arguably their most dynamic weapon. He was so valuable in that he could go out and run any routes, but he also had the ability to block. So it allowed their play calling to be very versatile and keep the defense off its toes in many cases. They also lost their left tackle, Trent Brown, to Oakland in the offseason, as well as a slew of wide receivers and Chris Hogan, Cordarrelle Patterson, and the tight end, Dwayne Allen, who kind of sucked, though.
He did. But they also replaced those guys, not necessarily tight end, I guess Ben Watson's coming back. you know, the ghost of Ben Watson. He's actually suspended for PEDs to start the season, but they kind of got a bunch of receivers. I mean, Nikhil Harry from the first round pick from Arizona State. Mm-hmm. They've got, as you've noted, Demaryius Thomas. They do bring got Josh Gordon back. He's been reinstated again. How many times is this guy going to get chances? But so they do have more weapons, and then the running backs, as we've talked about, that's kind of the strength of this team offensively now. They've got all these got versatile backs that can do a lot of things, and it just basically gives Belichick all these kind of chess pieces to move all over the place.
Yeah, the health of Sony Michel does give me a little bit of pause, but like Belichick always does, he provided cover by drafting Damian Harris out of Alabama, and I think that if Michel misses any time, Harris will step in admirably and fill that role.
Do you see any value in betting the Patriots? Obviously, the title or whatever, but I'm talking about, like, right now it looks like the under 11.5 is, you know, shaded minus 135. I guess you could say the over, but the only thing I'm thinking is that usually the Patriots struggle in September, right? Mm-hmm. They treat September as their preseason, and then come November and December, this team is firing all cylinders. Is there any value, maybe not in the futures market, but just betting them against the spread or even money line against the money line in them in September?
Yeah, I mean, I do like that angle. The problem is when you look at their schedule, it shapes up to be easy in September. They start out week 1 on Sunday night against Pittsburgh, and obviously that's going to be a hell of a game. But then after that, they play at Miami, home to the New York Jets, then at Buffalo, and at Washington. None of those games really scare me at all when I'm a Patriots backer. So I'm probably not going to be looking to play against them. Perhaps in Miami, if that number is high enough, just because of the heat factor. But outside of that, I'm probably not going to be going against them.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other teams in this division. I've listed the Bills as second, even though we'll talk about that in a minute. They have plus 6,600 title hopes, plus 3,300 in the AFC, plus 1,200 in the AFC East. Their win total 7.5, shaded to the under minus 140, plus 120 on the over. You know, to me, I mean, not that I would bet this win total, but this is like a classic 8-8 team to me. They have a really good defense. I actually like Sean McDermott a lot as their head coach. Mm-hmm. I think he does a lot with a little. Josh Allen certainly isn't a prolific passer. He runs more than he passes, but they've got a few weapons there, and I mean, they're going to play close games. What do you think about the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. Sean McDermott is definitely in the top half of the league in terms of coaches, and he has always coached this team really well. Remember, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago out of nowhere. So they do have the sophomore quarterback, Josh Allen, returning, which they ranked near the bottom in every statistical category on offense last season, with the only exception being their explosive run offense. And they made some changes in the offensive line. They added a center, Mitchell Morse, off of Denver. And he is hurt, though, so he is a question mark going into the season. And they added a whole host of tackles and guards through free agency and the draft. So I think the upgrade at offensive line is going to be a big positive for them. The other thing I noted is they have the easiest schedule of opponents' run defenses this season, which adds up to some success that they'll likely have through LeSean McCoy and backup TJ Yeldon on the ground. It looks like they're only going to be favored in 4 games this season, though, and I think it's going to be tough for them to get close to that win total. But I do agree with you, 8's probably the benchmark.
Right. You do need to watch out. McCoy, maybe he's got Gore in the backfield, right? Mm. But I like the young guy. I like Devin Singletary, who's kind of a rookie who's coming in from Florida Atlantic, and I think he actually adds a little bit of dynamic running for that team. Might even be out of the backfield for catching the ball. So they certainly are a team that I don't think they're anything to be bet on the futures market, but I do like them on a week-to-week basis because of that defense.
Yeah, without a doubt, their defense is going to be good, and they're probably going to be undervalued too. Their schedule starts out a little bit soft too, with Jets, Giants, Cincinnati, and Tennessee in 4 out of their first 5 weeks.
Well, there you go. Good segue. The Jets. The Jets also have plus 6,600 title hopes, plus 3,300 AFC hopes, and then plus 600 AFC East hopes, which is much better than the Bills. But they also have the 7.5 win total, shaded to the over minus 120, plus 100 for the under. there seems to be a lot of Jet love.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I don't get it. I think they've got better players. You've got Gase, who came from Miami as the coach, but I'm not really buying it.
I'm right there with you. I don't get it at all. They brought in a retread coach and right. Adam Gase, which to me is a big question mark right off the bat. And then on top of that, they have a sophomore quarterback in Darnold, who was mediocre last year, to put it best. And they really just don't show anything to me flashy. I mean, obviously they added Le'Veon Bell, who was fantastic in Pittsburgh, but I'm not sure that he's going to step in and return to his old form right away. Last year, their offense was near the bottom in most categories, and they finished 30th in offensive efficiency. So I'm not sold that Adam Gase is going to come in and just turn them around just like that. And on top of that, they're scheduled to face off against the league's 7th toughest schedule of pass defenses, including 5 against the top 10 from last year. So it's hard early on in the season where they face the 2nd toughest pass defense schedule through week 8. But then on the back half, 11 through 17, their schedule eases up quite a bit when they have the 11th easiest. So it could be the tale of two tapes for the Jets this year.
It probably is. I mean, I don't have them projected for a ton of wins, but I do have them winning more games later. One of the things you talk about, at least in college, a lot more, you know, Gase is kind of notorious for running with very low pace, too. So it's one of those teams that I'm going to look for in the unders as I look in the season. I think there's going to be a lot of Jet love in general for the spread, but also their totals, you know, people kind of believe, and I'm not anti-Sam Darnold. He was also super young, starting quarterback, was a rookie, but it's not like he's light the world on fire. They don't have that kind of offense.
Yeah, and on the flip side, their defense is actually going to be probably improved. They added quite a bit of talent, and Leonard Williams and Quinnen Williams was their first-round pick out of Alabama, and I think they're going to be pretty nasty on the defensive line. They also added C.J. Mosley from Baltimore.
Yeah, linebacker. So, yeah, they're going to be solid. Just kind of right in the middle of the pack to me with the Bills, just kind of that 6-8 win threshold. So that 7.5 is right there.
I agree. No play on the win total here for me.
The last team, arguably one of the worst teams in the AFC, is the Dolphins. They're plus 15,000 to win the title. There's a ticket, actually. I'll take that.
No, thank you.
Plus 8,000 in the AFC, plus 2,000 in the AFC East. 4.5 wins shaded to the over minus 135, plus 115 on the under. I got to be honest with the action. I already bet this on the under. I got plus 125 in July. I think this team's going to be bad, but I also think it's going to be bad on purpose. I think they're going to try to get that number one pick. Obviously, they traded for Rosen, see how he pans out. They brought in Fitzmagic and everything, but I just don't see this team. They're talking about trading receivers now. If you've heard about this,
for Clowney,
you know, trading receivers, for Clowney. Now, if Clowney comes in, he'll be. I don't think he wants to play there. Who wants to play on the worst team in the league? So I just think this team is going to be really not good.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Rosen had his work cut out for him last year against that terrible offensive line, but he still isn't showing any flashes. And I'm reading that Fitzpatrick might actually be the starting quarterback in week one. So. And on top of that, they have the 10th toughest schedule of opposing defenses, including the most difficult against the pass. So I don't see how they're winning very many games this year. Their offensive line was terrible last season, and unfortunately for Rosen, he's going to be stuck with it 2 years in a row. They're only favored in 3 games this season, Washington, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. I do think that you got some good value there on your under bet, but I'm staying away personally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. It's not that much money, right? Okay, well, let's go to the AFC North. The AFC North plays the NFC West this year and the AFC East. So the Steelers right now, although we'll talk a little bit about with the Browns, they're plus 2,000 to win the title, plus 1,000 to win the AFC, plus 125 to win the AFC North. That is the favorite, technically. But they're at 9 wins, way shaded to the over, minus 135, plus 115 to the under. Personally, action, I really like the Steelers this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an addition by subtraction situation. The Bell distraction last year, Brown was crazy at the end of the year, and you can see he's continued in Oakland. They have good young talent behind those guys now that they've left. Connor steps in. You got Juju Smith-Schuster. James Washington. They picked up Moncrief. So the offense is going to be fine. It's really the defense. And I think the defense has gotten a little bit better. I'm not saying that they're as good as Baltimore or something in this division, but picking up Devin Bush, you know, was key. He can make, maybe make the difference in the middle. You know, they lost Shazier a couple years ago and haven't really replaced him. And I think that win total is definitely low. I can see why the over is shaded in that 9 wins.
Their schedule is fairly difficult this season. Well, it was before Luck went down, at least. And
that's right.
I mean, the division's going to be difficult. Cleveland and Baltimore are both going to be tough opponents. But I do think that they're not going to miss Le'Veon. Obviously, that was shown last year when James Conner stepped up and offered better numbers than Le'Veon did. 4.5 yards per carry to Le'Veon's 4. And he averaged more yards per target, 7 to Le'Veon's 6.2, and a higher success rate in the red zone. And now they're losing AB. Antonio Brown is probably their most prolific wide receiver over the last few years. And he'll probably be a little bit more difficult to replace than Le'Veon was, to be honest with you.
Right.
But they do have capable wide receivers. I like Juju Smith-Schuster, and I think the two youngsters are going to step up, James Washington and Deontay Johnson. Ironically, are both on my dynasty team, so I'm hoping they step up. And really, their schedule is tough. Like I mentioned, they face off against the second-ranked pass defensive schedule in the league this year. But then on the opposite side, they face the 28th-rated schedule of opposing rush defenses. So it could be James Conner a lot this season, and I think that it could be a difference maker. But the problem is getting to that 9 wins is going to be tough.
Yeah, it is a tough schedule, but I like them. I mean, we'll see again, you know, opening game against the Patriots. It's not the measuring stick game that it's been in the past where they play week 10 or 11. But, you know, we'll see if this offense and really the defense can play at the level that I think that they can play. So I didn't bet it, but there is some value to me both for the AFC and the title here. You're talking about, you know, 10 to 1 and 20 to 1. So that's, you know, it's a value.
The problem for me is just Mike Tomlin. I would love to get in on futures with this team, but he is just such a horrible coach that I just, it's hard for me to get futures bets behind him. If they had a different coach, it might be a different story.
Right. He's not a good in-game coach. He's a good motivator. So the next team is the Browns, you know, America's darling Browns. They're plus 1,400 to win the title. Crazy. Plus 700 to win the AFC, but plus 175 to win the AFC North, which is weird. 9 wins as well, shaded to the under minus 130, plus 110 to the over. So you've noted that they opened at plus 3,300 for the title and plus 1,100 for the AFC and, you know, plus, you know, 137 for the division. So not the division, but the other two have really gone down. So people are betting the Browns. I mean, obviously people love this team. I like Baker a lot. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't a huge fan of him coming in, but man, he really showed me something last year with Freddie Kitchens calling the plays. And obviously they brought in a ton of weapons with Odell Beckham. And you obviously have Kareem Hunt, who's going to come back from suspension. You've got the defenses improved as well. I mean, the team's talented for sure.
Yeah, the talent cannot be denied. The hype on this team has been out of control in the offseason. It reminds me of Utah in the college ranks where everyone is talking them up to win the division and make the playoffs and make a run. And I'm just not buying it. I mean, this is Cleveland we're talking about. Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield definitely showed us something last year, but their offense was really kind of middling. And I think the numbers are obviously partially due because Hugh Jackson was there for most of the year. And they did tick up in the second half of the year when Freddie Kitchens took over and Baker was instilled as the full-time starter. But I have concerns about how they're going to be able to continue that pace this season. I think a lot of opponent defensive coaches are going to have tape on Baker now, and they're going to see his weaknesses and really develop game plans around that by trying to get pressure on him up the middle. And secondly, their schedule of opposing pass defenses is tough. Fifth toughest in the league this year. So I think that Baker is going to have a little bit of a sophomore slump personally, and I'm not interested in their win total, and I'm looking to fade them really in the division, just maybe not right off the bat.
I do have them making the playoffs based on talent. Now, that's probably a mistake, but the biggest thing is, can Kitchens manage the egos? Odell Beckham is a known diva, let's face it. he's picked up, you know, Olivier Vernon, all these other guys that are, you know, it's not like rah-rah team guys. You know what I mean? So if it goes south, especially early, this could be rough. Mm-hmm. But I think that I don't know why I trust Baker as a leader, and even though he's just a second-year player. I just see them getting to that total and making the playoffs. But, you know, that's probably wishful thinking. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their schedule, though. Early on, it's difficult. They have two easy games, week one and two, Tennessee and the Jets. And then after that, it's the Rams, Baltimore, San Francisco, Seattle, and New England. So
sure.
It could start off a little bumpy. And I think if you're really interested in them, you might be better off waiting and seeing if you can get an in-season number on them to win the division and hopefully have them come back. It might be even better than that 175 you're seeing now.
Right, for sure. The next team is the Ravens, Baltimore Ravens. They're plus 4,000 to win the title, plus 2,000 to win the AFC, plus 300 on a previous episode, Cole said 400. I saw 300 mm-hmm. for the AFC North. I have their total as 8 wins, but maybe this has changed. Shaded to the over at minus 140, plus 120 to the under. I definitely think that win total is low. I think this is a 8 or 9 win team. Lamar Jackson, of course, is the key to this team because of that offense, and they're changing it. The defense is going to be great, as always. I don't know if I trust that Jackson can make the throws that he needs to. He may have upgraded weapons, but I think that offense, another change, is not going to be what they were trying to run at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. It could take a few weeks for him to get going, and that may not be enough to really make the playoffs and win this division.
Yeah, I mean, this team scares me a little bit. I mentioned in the last episode that Cola was trying to talk me into that AFC title bet. Mm-hmm. But all along, I just keep thinking that Lamar Jackson is fragile and he's going to get hurt.
Yep.
Last season at the bye week, they completely changed the direction of the franchise by benching Flacco and putting in Lamar Jackson. And he was dynamic. He was amazing. Overnight, they went from the most pass-happy team in the league at 66%. Down to the most run heavy, 37% passes from week 11 on. They led the league in yards per carry, 5.4, and they finished 6th in rushing success rate. I mean, this team is going to be really successful when healthy. Mm-hmm. The problem is that I'm not sure that it's going to happen all year long, and I could see him getting hurt if they continue to run that same offense.
Well, I think I heard a stat that in his time, he ran for whatever it was, 600, 800 yards in those last, whatever, 8 games, on pace to run for 1,200 yards in a season. That's running back material.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get hurt. And more importantly, the way he may improve, and that might be the difference. He'll improve his pocket presence, but he was a bailout quick kind of guy. And you're not going to win too much in the NFL like that. We've only seen a couple of guys do that in a short term. Now, he is probably as dynamic as Michael Vick, reminiscent of him, but I just don't see it. And there's some pretty good defenses he's going to play this year mm-hmm. in division. We didn't talk about the Browns defense. I think that's an underrated defense. The Steelers are better. So we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this is a team I'm going to be looking to back week in and week out. I think John Harbaugh is going to have some wrinkles, especially early on. And right off the bat, they play Miami and Arizona. And those are 2 weeks in particular that I'm going to be probably having Baltimore on my card.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Well, let's talk about another terrible team, the Bengals. The Bengals are plus, wow, 15,000 to win the title. Plus 8,000 to win the AFC, plus 1,600 to win the AFC North. 5.5 wins is their total. Actually shaded to the over, minus 130, plus 110 to the under. I took the under at 6 wins
nice.
In July at plus 105. And that was before, I'm trying to think, I think that was right when A.J. Green got hurt.
Okay.
So, you know, to me, this team was bad with A.J. Green. When they had Jonah Williams, who was their first-round pick, offensive lineman, got hurt out for the year. They already had a bad offensive line, really, and so now they lose that guy. They lose A.J. Green, their best playmaker, besides Mixon. I just don't see how this team is going to compete, and their defense really didn't get better. They lost guys like Perfect. They're aging in the defensive line. They have a new coach as well, and that's another whole thing. I don't know if you mentioned Zach Taylor. This dude, he was only a coordinator for a year.
Yeah.
So they went on the mold of let's try to get a McVay disciple to save this team. without the weapons. I just don't see it happening, so I'm definitely on the under here.
Yeah, in fact, I think Zach Taylor wasn't even a coordinator, but just the QB coach in LA. he shook Sean McVay's hand one time, and that gave him the job at Cincinnati.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I agree with you. There's not much more to say. I think you nailed this one. The win total says it all, 5.5. They're going to be really bad. And then when they lost Jonah Williams, their first-round offensive lineman, it's going to get even worse. And I like your underplay. I'm not going to bet it myself, but I do think it's a strong play.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be vying for the bottom of the AFC for sure. Okay, let's move to the AFC South. The AFC South plays the NFC South this year and the AFC West. It's tough to pick a lead horse in this one. It originally was the Colts, but we'll talk about that in a minute. The Jags are really kind of the lead dog, I guess. Mm-hmm. Plus 2,500 to win the title, plus 1,200 to win the AFC, plus 200 to win the AFC South. 7.5 wins is their total, way shaded to the over, at minus 155. That's probably moved since I put it on there. Plus 135 to the under. They opened to win the division at plus 350 originally. And I am joining your bandwagon here, Action. I do believe the Jags, with Foles at the helm, will lead that elite defense likely to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I told you I bet this Jaguars team to win the division several weeks ago. I think I bet them at plus 550 in mid-July, which seems kind of prescient now, knowing what happened afterwards. But I also added their win total over 8 on Saturday night after the news broke at plus 100. So I can tell you right there, it has moved a little bit.
Nice.
But I like the even money. And I agree with you. I think last year was kind of a lost season for this team. They had a ton of injuries on offense and poor quarterback play from Bortles. And then the defense really just gave up because they saw their quarterback playing so poorly. Mm-hmm. There's new blood in on the offense. They've got ex-Phillies QB coach John DeFilippo and ex-Phillies backup quarterback Nick Foles. And I think they've added a few offensive linemen and Ogbui and rookie tackle Jawan Taylor from Florida, which should help that offensive line, who also performed very poorly last year. And on top of that, when looking at the schedule, they play the 31st ranked schedule of opposing pass defenses this year. So I think Nick Foles is going to have some success, and I like their receiving core. D.D. Westbrook in particular, I think, is in line for a breakout year. And that's not even talking about their defense, which, of course, is one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. They did lose linebacker Telvin Smith, who decided to take the year off. But thankfully, rookie edge rusher Josh Allen dropped right into their hands, and he's going to be a huge add for this defense and their pass rush.
Well, and I think when you're looking at this division, and obviously you got it at a great value, when you look at it, they're going to play an easier schedule than the Texans, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get to avoid the number one teams in the crossover divisions. And that's going to be a key difference to win the division here. You know, Houston's got to play that first place schedule. And beyond that, now, only thing I will say against it, I haven't bet anything with this team yet, is DeFilippo did kind of burn out in Minnesota. I mean, flame out quick.
Right.
He threw the ball way too much. I mean, obviously, as you've noted, Hackett was on there.
Mm-hmm.
He ran the ball way too much, but you just didn't trust Bortles. Foles can probably run that, you know, read option or RPOs better, so that's probably what they'll do. But it'll be interesting to see if DeFilippo throws a more balanced approach than he did in Minnesota, like, which got fired.
I, for one, think it would be a good thing for this Jacksonville offense if they pass more, especially on early downs. Last year, they just tried to run Fournette into brick walls all the time, and it was not successful. So it's going to be really interesting. I do agree, though, some variance is probably a good thing, but I like this offense a lot, and I love their defense, and I really love the position I'm at right now with the division and the win total.
Nice work. Get in early, get the best of the number. The next team is the Texans. The Texans are plus 2,000 to win the title, plus 1,000 to win the AFC, plus 185 to win the AFC South, which makes them technically the favorite. 8.5 wins is their total, which is really just even money, minus 110 both sides. I am not backing Houston. I think they're going to be good. I think they're just going to miss out on the playoffs because of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that line is the problem. Talked about it actually in the last pod, how Deshaun Watson got hit way too many times last year. He got sacked 62 times. He probably got hit, who knows, 90 times. You got to keep that guy healthy. You've lost Lamar Miller. Was it because of the offensive line? I'm not sure, but we know that they try to address the line, and I don't think they've really done it.
No, they certainly haven't. And you're right. This offensive line is the major problem on this team. Deshaun Watson is a fantastic quarterback, and obviously he is a great talent, but he has just not been able to stand upright. I think you mentioned it last year. He got hammered, 62 sacks, and the Texans' sack margin was a negative 19. So he gets pressured on half of his dropbacks, 48% in 2017, and then in 2018 they improved by a very slim margin to 45%, which was a league high. On top of that, wide receivers Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti can't really stay healthy and on the field, and without them, they're just not the same offense. They did trade for the shifty running back Duke Johnson, but now that they've lost Lamar Miller, I think there's another question mark on their team that they don't have a lead cow running back. So last year, they really benefited from a weak schedule. The quarterbacks they faced last year, Osweiler, Gabbert, Bortles, Cody Kessler, McCoy, Keenum, Peterman, Mariota, and Eli Manning. This year, it's a totally different cast. They're going against Mahomes, Rivers, Breeze, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, and Bruce Arians, and Nick Foles inside the division. And I think it's easy to see why their schedule is projected as the fifth toughest of opposing pass offenses this year and the third toughest schedule of overall offenses. So I think there's going to be another pendulum swing this year, and I, like you, am down on this Houston team. I actually bet them under already the 8 win total at minus 105.
I wonder what will happen to the win total if Clowney gets traded. He's got to be a distraction now. But if he goes, you got to figure it'll drop a little a tick. So you said you already have under 8?
Yep, under 8.
Gotcha. Probably a little too heavy on my predictions.
Where did you have them in win totals?
I ended up having them with 11 wins. I go game by game.
Oh,
and
okay.
A lot of it actually – I think originally I had them around 9 or 10, but unfortunately for your Colts, I gave them, you know, two wins against the Colts there instead of splitting. And that kind of pumps them up a little bit. But a lot of times I'm just trying to – when you go game by game,
right,
you're taking a snapshot now. It's not health. I did it after the Miller injury, but also assuming Clowney's still on the team, you know, so it's – you see what happens.
It's going to be a wild division.
It is going to be definitely probably the most wide-open division out there. The Titans, they are plus 5,000 for the title, plus 2,500 for the AFC, plus 300 for the AFC South. 7.5 wins is their total, shaded to the over minus 125, plus 105 to the under. I put down that I like Mike Vrabel a lot. I think he's a really good coach, but I don't like Marcus Mariota. I used to like him. I think that he just has not improved. And to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if Tannehill gets the starting job sooner rather than later, to give this team a chance, because the defense is actually pretty solid, but they, you know, they lost Matt LaFleur as their coordinator, but they just got to get a little more dynamic on offense. I mean, they did turn to the power running game late in the season, and that helped them, but I don't know if that's going to be successful in this division.
It's going to be tough. Marcus Mariota is in the final year of his contract too, so it's going to be a prove it year for him. And I do agree with you. There seems to be a brewing quarterback battle there between him and Tannehill. And a new offensive coordinator is certainly going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. They didn't really have any major losses, and they did add a few key players, and Adam Humphries and one of Broccoli Bob's buddies, Roger Saffold, on the offensive line. Awesome. So I think this is kind of a middling team. Their defense was pretty good last year, but I think that was due to a below-average slate of opponents. And this year, it's the complete opposite. They face the 11th ranked schedule of opponent offenses, including similar teams to Houston and Cleveland, Atlanta, LA, Chargers, Tampa, Carolina, Kansas City, and New Orleans. And they're only favored in 4 games this season. So I think it's going to be tough for them to get to that 7.5. I like them under, but because of all my heavy investments in this division, I stayed away from betting it.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, they're right at that 7-win threshold for me, so it's not like it's well under like Cincinnati or something like that.
Sure.
The last team, and I'm sorry, shed a tear for your Colts. They're plus 5,000. When I pulled it, they were plus 5,000 for the title, plus 2,500 to the AFC Championship, plus 450 for the AFC South. Their total, when I put it on here, was 7 wins. shaded to the over minus 125, plus 105 to the under. I'd imagine that changed, but we'll see.
I think that's Colts, pretty spot on.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The Colts open at plus 1900 for the title, so you can see that the Andrew Luck loss, retirement, has just cratered their chances. And I kind of feel bad for Colts fans. They built up a pretty good team around Luck. And as much as Brissett is probably going to be better than he was 2 years ago, I just don't see this team winning a ton of games. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday night was certainly shocking. And I do agree with you. You see stories of all the Colts fans that were booing him. And it's hard to say what each individual was booing for. But I think they were just pissed that the same rhetoric happened that happened 2 years ago, where the team and the doctors and the player just didn't come true to the fans and explain what was going on. We still have no idea what that injury was. Right. And it's clear that he has been thinking about this retirement for quite some time. And now we've lost out on a chance to bring in other backups. We're going to roll with Jacoby Brissett, who I do like, but now we have a backup named Chad Kelly who's suspended for a few games. Mm-hmm. So I do think, though, that the move right off the bat was clearly an overreaction. You know, we mentioned earlier, I jumped in right away at 9.5 and dropped the hammer on it, plus 125. Sure. I'm feeling good. And now at Circa, the Colts move from minus 180 to make the playoffs to minus 210 to not make the playoffs. Right. And as you mentioned, their odds plummeted to win the division and the AFC. And it looks like the win total now has settled in at 7.5 at BetOnline. But early Sunday morning, I saw it in there at 6.5 plus 110 to the over. So I jumped in on that as well, and I've kind of set up a nice juicy middle for myself.
Middle.
Mm-hmm. Anything that lands on 7, 8, or 9 is a double scoop.
I'll be watching them, obviously. I just think that the thing about this division is the teams were really close, even with Luck on the team. And he made a difference in the fourth quarter, and like Watson did last year, winning all those close games. And I just don't think Brissett can do that. And so if they're going to play a close-to-the-vest type offense where they're going to run the ball with Marlon Mack and try to make some plays to Hilton occasionally, it's going to be rough sledding, and we'll see. I think I was pretty harsh in my predictions with the four wins, but I think that is overreaction. But at the same time, when I go game by game, I'm like, are they going to be able to win any games on the road, especially in division? And I don't see it. And so it kind of boils down to they'll win some home games. They'll play some crossover games that maybe aren't that difficult, but you know, it's not an easy schedule for them either.
I agree. The schedule is difficult, but when you also look back, I mean, Brissett was the starter for this team 2 years ago, and they did finish 4-12, but when you look into the box scores, they had a lead in 9 games entering the fourth quarter, but only finished 4-5 in those games.
Right.
The major difference, though, is no longer being coached by Chuck Pagano. Now we have Frank Reich coaching the team. And on top of that, improved offensive line. They ranked fourth last year in adjusted line yards. And improved pass catchers, too. We added Devin Funchess, a healthy Jack Doyle, and Paris Campbell comes in. So I think this team is actually going to surprise some people when they come out there. And on top of all that, I think they're going to play with an edge now, because everyone is looking at them to have a crappy season, and I expect them to come out hot and firing.
Okay. We'll see. The last division is the AFC West. The AFC West plays the NFC North, and then the AFC South. The Chiefs are plus 800 to win the title, plus 400 for the AFC. They are the favorites in the AFC West at minus 150. 10.5 wins is their total. Shaded to the over, minus 125, and plus 105 to the under. Well, okay, I won't go into that. We'll talk about that next week. But I really like this team. I think that 8.5 or 8-1 value for the Super Bowl title is actually pretty good for this team.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I saw, well, first of all, you know, I'm not making any moral judgments. I can't believe Tariq Hill is still on the team or even not sanctioned in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But because he is, that gives him that dynamic weapon that really opens the field. Damian Williams is back from his early hamstring injury in camp. You've got Travis Kelce, but more importantly, they've added a defensive coordinator that actually knows what the hell he's doing, and Steve Spagnuolo. And he's basically creating a defense that probably is going to be way tougher than that Chiefs you know, milquetoast defense that you've seen the last few years. They added Frank Clark from Seattle, who's a beast on the outside. Alex Okafor from New Orleans, and then Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, in the secondary to take over Barry, who hasn't really played in 2 years. So I really like this team for, you know, to be a contender in the Super Bowl. I know everybody does, but mainly because of the defense. We know the offense is great.
I agree. I think they're obviously going to be dominant again this year, and they lost a fair amount of players on both sides, though. Justin Houston and Spencer Ware are gone. Kareem Hunt shipped to Cleveland. They also lost Dee Ford and a big loss in their center, Mitch Morse. But they added a lot of players too, especially on defense. Alex Okafor, Brashad Breeland, and Frank Clark come in, and you mentioned Mathieu. I think that Spagnuolo is probably a step in the right direction for this team, and that's really where they're going to become contenders to elite. And obviously we saw that AFC Championship last year, and the defense is where they dropped the ball, literally.
Really? Offsides.
And I think we can't say enough about this offense, though. Andy Reid and Mahomes have the short passing game down to a science, and Damian Williams is going to be good this year. They added Mecole Hardman to the draft. We didn't touch on that, too, which gives them a whole other weapon on the outside. He runs a 4.33 40.
Speed.
And I agree with you. I like them. Their schedule is going to be tough, though. Mm-hmm. They play that first place schedule.
Yep, and I mean, the NFC North's pretty good, so you try to do a little future against them, but, you know, you took a shot.
Yeah, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, you got it on there. It's bolded. I saw it.
Yeah, I think I put this in June. This was back when I thought Tyreek Hill was going to be suspended.
Of course.
I saw what I thought was a juicy number at the Chiefs to miss the playoffs at plus 350. Obviously, don't like it as much now.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, the next team is the Chargers. The Chargers are plus 1,400 to win the title, plus 700 to win the AFC, plus 165 for the AFC West. Their total's 10 wins, shaded to the over, minus 115, and then minus 105 for the under. We talked about this a little bit with Cola. I'm not anti-Chargers. I actually really like this team, but I think they're going to make the playoffs. But it's hard because I had them like in the Super Bowl this year before all these injuries, Derwin James and Okun and obviously the Melvin Gordon holdout. So now I'm kind of backing off. They have a great defense, but Derwin James was a playmaker for them, and he really made a difference in coverage, especially those tight ends like Kelsey.
Yeah, the loss of Derwin James is really, really difficult for them. But when I dug into them, their defense is going to be really good. Gus Bradley is back, and they have a pretty stacked roster, even outside of James. They added a few playmakers, Thomas Davis from Carolina, and then a couple of rookies and Jerry Tillery and another linebacker and a safety to play alongside of Joey Bosa, Ingram, and Denzel Perryman, who's back this year. And they finished last year 8th in total defense despite having the 5th most injured defensive unit. This year, their schedule of opposing offenses projects to be a little bit easier, and I think it all adds up for them to be a monster on the defensive end. And then when you look at the other side of the ball, they had a pretty good year last year, 3rd in offensive efficiency. And Hunter Henry's coming back too, which is going to be a huge upgrade over Antonio Gates. So I think this team is going to be really good. I really don't feel Melvin Gordon is an issue at all, even if he gets traded or doesn't come back either.
Yeah, to qualify, I mean, I have them winning 12 games. You know, I've got them being basically, if they weren't in the AFC West, they'd probably be the 3 seed, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, unfortunately, they're going to be the 5 seed or something. Like last year, they have to go on the road, and they've got to go to New England or somewhere like that. You know, it's just that's the difficulty when you don't win the division and you don't have the best record. So going to be a really good team.
You don't think they can challenge Kansas City for the division title?
I think they can, but I do think that the improvements on the defense for Kansas City are going to be noted in those games. And to Cola's point, you know, in the last episode, they were 7-1 on the road. They were incredible. And Rivers had a great year. So any kind of regression there is going to make it that much harder. The margin will be slimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about, they have very little home field advantage, too. That is really something that sets them back year in and year out.
Right. And the other thing I will say, I think I put this, is that Anthony Lynn, like, look, he's a solid coach. He was a good coach last year. I don't know if he makes in-game adjustments like Andy Reid or Belichick or somebody like that, you know?
True.
All right, the next team's the Broncos, plus 6,600 to win the title, plus 3,300 to win the AFC, plus 1,400 to win the AFC West. Their total is 7 wins, even money at minus 110 on both sides. You know, this team, to me, they're not going to win the AFC. But that 7 wins, you know, I can see why it's sitting there. I think this is a solid 8-8 team. And I think the reason is Vic Fangio. I think that this guy, like we saw it here in Chicago with the Bears, he's obviously a professional, really coaches up this team. He's got two great defensive ends there in Von Miller and Chubb. Not the greatest secondary, but you don't necessarily need it with that kind of pressure. And he's just going to play tough football. Flacco is coming in at quarterback, maybe not great. He's probably seen past his prime, but he's definitely more of a professional quarterback than Keenum or whoever else they've trotted out there the last couple of years. I don't know about your thoughts. What do you think?
I'm actually pretty down on them. I do agree with you that I think Vic Fangio is going to be an upgrade at coach, but this team has tons of turnover. You mentioned Keenum, which is probably not a huge loss, but they also lost a few defenders, Bradley Roby, Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett, and Tremaine Brock, and 3 offensive linemen, Feltier, Matt Paradis, and Max Garcia. They did bring in offensive linemen as well, and it's interesting to see how that will shake out. And I think Noah Fant, the tight end out of Iowa, was a good draft pick.
Yep.
But this offensive line is going to be a serious question mark. And the quarterback that they brought in, Joe Flacco, is not exactly the ideal candidate to have behind an offensive line that's porous.
Right.
He's really a statue back there. And when you look at his ratings under pressure, the last 4 seasons, he was 29th, 26th, 22nd, and 35th at quarterback rating when pressured. And he has posted ridiculously high throwaway rates as well. He ranked 32 out of 33 qualified quarterbacks in deep ball efficiency last year, and he only completed 34% of his passes. I really don't think that Flacco is the answer for this team, and I got to be honest, I think we're going to see Drew Lock before the season's over.
Oh, I definitely think that's probably the case.
Their defense is going to be good, though, without a doubt. Those two ends are going to be dynamic, and they always can pressure the quarterbacks. But I'm down on the Broncos, and I think that I would probably play them under that win total.
Okay. I gotcha. A little difference, a little head-to-head difference there.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the last team in this division. Raiders, plus 5,000 to win the title, plus 2,500 to win the AFC, plus 1,800 to win the AFC West. Their total is 6 wins. Shaded to the under, minus 125, plus 105 to the over. I already bet this team under the 6 wins, plus 100 in July.
Nice.
Yeah. To me, I'm hammering them in my predictions, only like 2 wins. I know they're going to win more than that. They'll probably win 4 or 5, maybe even 6. But this team, as much as you watch Hard Knocks and, oh, let's – have you watched Hard Knocks at all?
Actually, I have not. I'm not an HBO subscriber.
I'll give you a little reference. Not – knock on wood if you, he keeps having this thing where they're like, knock on wood if you're with me. It's like,
okay.
Everybody's in the meeting and they're knocking on the tables. And they did a little like montage of it last night. Look, I think Gruden is a good motivator and everything. He's brought in some talent, but they're just in disarray. And Antonio Brown, who ended up drafting this weekend, he's crazy, man. I mean, he's just a nutcase. I don't know if he's going to play well, if he's going to play at all. They've got kind of subpar defense in my mind too, still. And, you know, the running game, Josh Jacobs could be an improvement, you know, over the aged one and Marshawn Lynch, but it's just not a team, you know, not a team that I'm going to back at all. And that's why I was so against them. So.
No, I think you're spot on here. The biggest issue facing them is their schedule. They're projected to face the 3rd toughest 2019 schedule. And that doesn't even include all the travel. I think I read that they travel more this season than several franchises combined. I think a few of the AFC East franchises, you could add up all of their travel and it's still less than the Oakland Raiders. So they face the league's 4th toughest slate of opposing defenses and the 6th toughest of enemy offenses. So this team has everything stacked against them, and I think it could fall apart rather quickly.
Absolutely. I think that. And the other thing is, they're going to Vegas. So are they really committed to this team? I mean, it could be a farewell song to the Oakland fans and all, but I'd be really surprised if this team's competitive in December. You know, people are just packing up and everything like that. So.
I do think that they're going to be a pretty solid overplay, though, most of the year because of that offense. They've got Derek Carr, who throws a good deep ball, Antonio Brown now, and they're going to be behind in a lot of games. So I expect them to be racking up garbage points and probably eclipsing some totals here and there.
I agree. And they've got some, you haven't been watching Hard Knocks, you know, they've got some young players that are intriguing, especially, you know, on the fantasy angle, but, you know, they're going to be able to score some points. I just think that defense stinks.
Yep.
Okay, well, that wraps up the AFC. I mean, that was a lot of information for you guys out there. I'll follow it. We'll be digging into the NFC next week, and we'll also be talking about predictions for the season, and then kicking off our Circa Pick segment, and we'll kind of come up with a better title than that.
Yeah.
But we'll start doing that every week so we can prepare to win some cash.
That's right. I'm really looking forward to diving in and really getting to work on these picks. And hopefully we'll keep throwing out some winners in college football. We're not going to lose sight of college football either, but we may be a little bit more shaded to the NFL just because we have so much invested into this contest and we really want to be successful.
Absolutely. So obviously follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And let us know if you got some ideas on your picks or your futures. Let us know on Twitter or via the Gmail account. We want to hear what you have to say, too. And then hopefully some of these picks come in for you and us.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll see you again this week. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.